living by faith. Again, that very well be said to be the motto of the Christian. Inasmuch as we walk by faith and not by sight. Certainly, it is due to God's grace and mercy that we have been enabled to assemble here at this place, at this time, for this purpose, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are appreciative of Brother William for directing our singing in a very fine fashion. And we appreciate the congregation for following his lead and harmonizing their voices together with his as we have corporately offered up our worship services in song. And I want to make a comment regarding a young man in the audience with whose singing I am impressed. And that's a young man that you might already know. If not, I'll be delighted to introduce you to him. His name is Ryan Prowl. I've been listening to Ryan for quite some time. He sings, and he sings loudly enough that he can be heard. And I know if I can hear him, the Lord can hear him. He's not shy about singing. I'm not trying to embarrass you, Ryan. But I think it's commendable. He could sit there with his lips pursed tight. But he wants to engage in singing songs of praise to his God. And he makes no bones about it. I want to commend him for that fine spirit of worship participation. Sometimes we have young people and some older folk who could sing but who won't sing. Some can sing but will not sing. I'm glad that Ryan is not of that ilk. He wants to sing. He seems to enjoy singing, and all of us should, as we strive to direct our worship toward the great God of heaven, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So let Ryan be an example and an encouragement to all of us. I'm sure we have a number of other young folks who are singing, and I'm not disregarding you, but his voice rings out so loud, and I don't think he's really looking at the book all of the time. He knows most of these songs from memory, and that is a wonderful thing. They say a song really doesn't belong to you unless you can sing it without looking at the book. But I just wanted to mention that this morning. We appreciate Brother Clifford reading our scripture lesson and Brother Clemens leading us in our prayer. I want to talk to you this morning about a lady who goes down in history, leaving an unfortunate legacy. I want to talk to you about a woman whose life ended in tragedy. I want to talk to you about a woman whose name I don't even know, but a woman who is memorable and a woman from whose life we can learn a lot. I'm talking actually about the wife of Lot, and specifically the legacy of Lot's wife. Brother Clifford read for us from Genesis 19, verses 17 through 26. I would like to, and he read exactly what I asked him to read, and I appreciate that, sir. But I would like to read the two verses preceding the 17th verse. If you still have your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 19, please let us consider verses 15 and 16. That's Genesis 19. We want to look now at verses 15 and 16. Now, the angels of the Lord, the men who had come to rescue Lot and his family, they had spent the night at Lot's house. Lot had moved into the city. Lot sat in the gates. Lot apparently occupied an important political position in the city of Sodom. The Bible says this is the next morning. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. That is, they rushed Lot. They hurried Lot up, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." We talked about Jesus and warnings in our lesson this morning. This was a special warning from heaven given to Lot and his family. He told him, "Arise, get up, make haste, get a move on, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here." And I believe Lot had some other daughters. Some don't believe so, but I think that he did. "Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." You are in danger. You are in great danger. Your life and the life of your wife and the life of your daughters are in peril. So it is imperative that you take the proper measures so you can escape from this city, because it's going to be destroyed. And you don't want to be consumed in the city. You don't want to be destroyed with the city. So you better hurry up and get out of here. Notice verse number 16. "And while he lingered," you've been told that you need to hurry up and get out of here, that you might be consumed in the iniquity of the city. But while he lingered, Lot was warned, yet waiting. What are you waiting for, Lot? Why don't you hurry up? Why don't you get a move on? Why don't you quicken your step? What are you waiting on? While he lingered, and this is a test to the great grace and mercy of God. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Isn't God good? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God gracious? Isn't God merciful? Some of y'all would have just said, "Well, go ahead and stay here. I'm out of here." But they literally took Lot's hands and the hands of his wife and two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and they set him without the city. You know, we are in danger, folks. We are in peril Folks, now a lot of folks don't believe that. You know, we talk about salvation. We talk about people being lost. We talk about people perishing. We talk about people being cast into the lake of fire. We warn people, but people often don't heed the warning. They had to literally take Lot and his folks and take them, set them outside the city. He was warned, but yet waiting. But due to the mercy of a gracious and long-suffering God, they were able to be saved. Not all of them, but they were able to be saved initially. Remember, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, man, if I had been Lot and Mrs. Lot, and if I had been one of those daughters, there's no way on God's green earth I would have been hesitating. There's no way I would have been waiting. There's no way I would have been lingering. I would have hurried and I would have got out of harm's way. I would have gotten out of danger. Yeah, Brother Jones, if I was back then and if I knew the city was going to be destroyed, and if I had been warned, yeah, I would have got out of there. Well, you have been warned. You have been warned. You are in danger. You are in danger. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some have not taken advantage of the benefits provided for them on the cross of Calvary by the death of God's only begotten Son, who loved us so much that he sacrificed his life on the cross on our behalf in our interest. He did it because he loved us so. He did it because he wants to see us saved. Because we are facing imminent doom, imminent damnation, if we do not take heed, if we do not take seriously the warning. Yeah, we don't have any room to criticize Lot and his family, his folk, if we don't take corrective measures in order to remove ourselves out of harm's way, in order to save ourselves from an eternal hell. Brother Jones, you said hell. Yeah, Jesus said hell. Matter of fact, Jesus used the word hell more than any other writer. If you don't believe it, just read your Bible, especially Mark, the book of Mark. Check out a number of chapters, but Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else. And he is the one who loved us so that he died on the cross for our sins. And I'm just saying, when we have the opportunity to right our relationship with God, we should move expeditiously in order to remove ourselves from harm's way. So the Lord was very merciful, very gracious to Lot. Now go to verse 17. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad. You see, the angels did this. They were delivered by these angels. That he said, now here's another warning. Here's another warning. He said, escape for thy life. Your life is at stake. Our lives are at stake. Our souls are at stake. What does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You don't want to lose your soul, do you? Escape for thy life. Here's some specific instructions that are given. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Notice, Lot hath the brazen audacity, the unmitigated gall, the intestinal fortitude to say, oh, not so, my Lord. The Lord has already taken you outside of the city. He has warned you, escape for your life. Don't look behind. You escape to the mountain. And Lot said unto him, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. I see he has magnified his mercy. Mercy you didn't deserve. And you are still acting ignorant. Some folks just say he was acting ignorant. God has already had great mercy upon you, and you still are offering protests and excuses. Thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy. He's magnified his mercy toward you. He's magnified his mercy toward me. Yeah, we have not gotten what we deserve. God has just been gracious and merciful for us, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. It seems contradictory, self-contradictory, oxymoronic, ironic. Notice now, I cannot escape to the mountain. Isn't that pitiful? Let me tell you this. God never gives us a command that he will not enable us to carry out. If God says escape to the mountain, you'd better be found trying to escape to the mountain. Lest some evil take me and I die. That's one of the most lame, miserable excuses I've ever encountered since I've been living on the planet for 66 and a half years. Did you hear what he said? I cannot escape to the mountain. Lest some evil take me and I die. If you don't escape and follow instructions, you are going to die. If you don't get out of here and do what I ask you to do, you will perish. And he's finding the excuse, saying, I can't do it. Some evil is going to overtake me. He's already warning you about the evil that's going to overtake you if you don't hush up and get a move on is going to be the fire and brimstone, the sulfur raining down from heaven to destroy these wicked cities. And then he says, behold now, this city is near to flee unto. You know, I don't want to go that far. You're asking too much of me. Does that sound familiar? Little things that God asks us to do, we feel he's asking too much of us. He said, behold, now this city is near to flee unto you. This one is convenient. So let me escape to this one. And it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. The Lord conceded. Okay, all right. You know, I'm going to go ahead and comply with your request. I'm not going to destroy this city. You can find refuge in it. But then he again gives him a warning in verse number 22. Notice, haste thee, hurry up, escape thither. For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. God was still being merciful and gracious to him. And you know what I think? I think that the reason God was as long-suffering, was as patient, was as indulgent, was as merciful toward Lot was because of Abraham, his uncle's sake. It wasn't because Lot deserved this, but because this was Abraham's nephew, I believe the Lord continued to spare him and give him an opportunity. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered unto Zoar. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God carried out his judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah and upon the cities of the plain and destroyed the vegetation, that which grew upon the ground. The place became desolate. And this is the tragic part. They have made it this far. They have escaped this far. They are almost home free. Almost home free. But not only did Lot and his family and Lot and his wife move into Sodom, but I'm afraid Sodom also moved into Lot. Sodom moved into Mrs. Lot. Mrs. Lot apparently bought into the system of Sodom. She bought into the cultural values of Sodom. She identified with Sodom, and Sodom is equated with and analogous to the world. One of the most tragic verses in all of sacred literature, in my humble estimation, verse number 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She didn't have to look back. She ought not to have looked back, but she did. Why did Mrs. Lot look back? I don't know. I can't tell you definitively why she did, but I suspect that she had great interest in Sodom. Likely her daughters, two other daughters, remained in Sodom. And you know, the parent-child bond is very strong. She hated to leave her daughters behind. That's what I believe. That's one thing. But I also believe not only did she hate to leave her daughters behind, she hated to leave her house behind. I think she hated to leave her house behind. Hated to leave it. Hated to leave her furniture behind. I don't know if she purchased anything at the Sodom Mall or not, but she apparently had some possessions that she hated to leave behind, that she had some possessions that she valued, and she did not want to leave them. She found it difficult to part ways with Sodom, part ways with the world, part ways with her old life, part ways with carnality, part ways with her property, with her possessions. She had her wardrobe back in Sodom. She had some very valuable possessions back in Sodom. She left her food back in Sodom. She left everything behind, and she just hated to leave it behind. She did not buy into 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Mrs. Lot failed to heed the will of God. Mrs. Lot couldn't keep from taking one more look, although she had been admonished along with her family, look not behind thee, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. She rejected God's grace. She rejected God's mercy. She rejected God's instructions. She rejected God's salvation by directly going against the specific instructions that had been given by the merciful God of glory. My heart goes out to Lot and his family. Despite their stubbornness, despite their lingering, despite there waiting, although they had been warned. I'm going to cut off right here at this point. Jesus, in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 32, issues a terse warning. Just three words. Remember Lot's wife. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God encapsulated in this particular narrative and in Luke chapter 17 and in verse 32. Memory, a record of Lot's wife and her foolish defection, her tragic disobedience, her final doom. It's placed there in the biblical record to serve as a warning to you and as a warning to me. So I say, along with Jesus, remember Lot's wife. Maybe you are sitting here today and know that it is needful that you trust and obey. The Lord has made wonderful provisions for you to escape destruction that is ahead, because he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, to suffer inexpressible agony and pain on the cross, to shed his precious blood, to give up his life, that we might be saved, that we might be able to be saved from danger, doom, destruction, and death. That's why he died, was buried, and arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That's good news for us who are sinners. That's good news for us who are lost. That's good news for us who need to be saved. And you can be saved. You don't have to be lost. Like Lot's wife didn't have to perish. Lot and his family didn't have to die. They didn't have to be destroyed with Sodom. But they had to comply with the stipulated conditions that were given in God's word. If you want to claim the salvation which is available in Christ Jesus, likewise you have to comply with the stipulated conditions that are given. You've heard this good news of the gospel, what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Give up the things you know to be wrong. Give them up, turn them loose, let them go. All sinful behavior. This is what repentance is. Give it up. Just decide, I'm not going to live that way anymore. Decide, I'm going to start living for the Lord. Whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. However he wants me to live and behave, that's how I'm going to live and behave. You can start that brand new life today. Upon your confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will be glad to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins, that you might become a part of God's family and be added to the New Testament church. Know you not so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ did put on Christ. You can put Christ on today. You can become a new creation today. Baptism is the only way by which you can gain entrance into the family of God, by which you can gain entrance into the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. You know where salvation is? In Christ, in the church. How can you get in Christ? We've just told you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they too might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You can be saved today. You can obey today. You can know that you have obeyed what the Bible requires. And you can escape the condemnation and the destruction that is looming down the road. Will you become a child of God today? Will you obey the gospel today? If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the way, will you return today? You can do that through repentance, confession, and pray.